بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تعالى إنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال تعالى إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين وقال تعالى ولقد أرسلنا رسلا من قبلك وجعلنا لهم أزواجا وذرية. So dear brothers, dear ulama, dear asatidha, unfortunately because some of the family is gonna still running late due to some traffic or something, you're gonna have to bear with me and I'm gonna have to bore you for the next 10 minutes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you and for me, inshallah. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do that which is inshallah useful and beneficial. Alhamdulillah, one of the main things, and I know we have these nikah ceremonies, mashallah, often, and we're coming into nikah season, if it hasn't already started. This is the nikah season. So all the halls will be booked up, and mashallah, the nikah businesses will be have lots of barakah, inshallah. What is really important to understand is that when we come here in the masjid, especially in the masjid, and we prefer to keep the nikahs in the masjid, it's the best place because nikah is a religious act. It's a very sacred act. Big hurmah in it, which means a lot of sacredness in it, and it's best to keep those things in the masjid, though they can be done elsewhere. We prefer to keep it in the masjid and we consider that there'll be an additional barakah in it. Otherwise, what is nikah? People, about 50% or more of the population outside, broadly speaking, just live together with whom they like. No contract. They just feel like we can live together, so they live together. Alhamdulillah, in our tradition, in our faith, it's very important that you actually take a commitment. So I know that for a lot of us, it's just qabiltuha. The zawajtuha, it sounds even more complicated. And nakahtuha, like nikah jaisa kuch lagta hai isme. Most people don't know what nakahtuha means and qabiltuha. And then sometimes, mashallah, I remember in my nikah, it was a big buzurg, mashallah, from Deoband who did it. And it's a good job I understood a bit of Farsi, because he said, Ahmed Bhai ki dukhtar. I was like, what does that mean? Right? Dukhtar is a daughter in Persian, so he was using Persian terms. So we think that this is just some kind of ritual, aisa karna padta hai, and we just do it and then it's done. But it's a massive undertaking. There's a lot of significance to this. That's what I want to show you. It's me bahut ahmiyat hai. It's a massive significance that you have the groom and the representative of the bride, and they literally, they commit. This is like a covenant and a commitment they take. Once everything else has been checked out and they've decided to get married, then you take a commitment that I accept you in your marriage. So in our Hanafi madhab, we take it as a part ibadat and also a muamala, as a part transaction, because you're undertaking to do something with the other person. When you undertake to do something for another person, it's marriages used to be easier 50 years and before, because life was simpler. When a woman was going to get married, all she had to find out is which house I was going to, and she probably knew everything about the house because it's probably going to be in the same village, or maybe the next village, or maximum three villages, they used to say, right? You knew everything about them. There's nothing hidden about the family and the individual. So it's the only decision, and she knew what work was cut out for her. She's going to have to be there. She's going to have to cook and clean. She's going to have children and bring them up and maybe help in the field or the business. And that's it. It was very simple. It was very simple to know what your future was going to be like, because your mum had the same and same past, and your sister had done the same thing before, and your aunties had done the same thing, and life did not change. Life stayed the same in many parts of the world, literally for centuries, until come the last 50, 60 years, where the world has changed as it's never changed before. Okay, the man from the groom's side, he also knew the work that was cut out for him, that he'd have to earn a living, and he's going to live with his parents or not, or they're going to build an extra garo, you know, like next door there's an extra, you know, build another extension to the house, or and so on. Those were the only concerns they had. There wasn't any complicated concerns. The concerns they had were the same as concerns they've had before, and everybody had done it because the life was simple and straightforward. Now, mashallah, when you go to universities, 2/3 usually are women. Of the Muslim community that I've spoken to, 2/3 are women, 1/3 are men. Women are studying. And women have career ideas. Women have decisions, and they have dreams and ambitions of whether they want to continue working after marriage, whether they want to delay having children for the next 5 years or 7 years or 10 years until they climb a certain place, you know, on the ladder. So, whereas before it would have just been whatever the man said, and every both parties knew exactly the road ahead most of the time, now there's big decisions that have to be taken. So that's made life a lot more complicated, because no longer are you dealing with the known. A lot of it is the unknown. That obviously creates challenges. That creates challenges. There's just too much variety, too many options, and options create stress and confusion in life. But what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? So I'm not complaining about it. I'm saying that that means we need to understand that it's complicated. So we need to have a much more sophisticated and a more extensive and broad, tolerant approach. Otherwise, marriages are breaking left, right and center. What a wonderful time to talk about breakages of marriage when somebody's getting together. I can just imagine ye kya keh raha hai, like ye to nikah ka, you know, ye to nikah ki majlis hai, aur ye to pata nahi koi tod ki baat kar raha hai. The reason I speak about it here is because it's the reality, and if we're not prepared, this is what people make a mistake. We're the ones, the ulama are the ones who get the calls. The woman will say, oh, we've been having arguments, I just told him as a joke, I just told him just to threaten him, give me a divorce. And he gave it. What else do you expect? You know. So this is a gathering where people who never listen to a bayan will listen to one. There's people who come to nikah gatherings because of your relationship with the groom or the bride that will miss the Jumu'ah bayan every week. They'll only come for khutbah. Unfortunately, we've got a... And the problem with this, and I'm not making anybody feel bad here, that's not the purpose of saying this. The reason I mention this is because many, many people today, many people, and if I ask here, after, the Islam that you operate on, the Islam that drives you, the knowledge, jo bhi aapke paas Islam ke baare mein jo bhi kuch maloomat hai, by which you practice, where did you learn it from? A majority of us, we are operating and using the same knowledge which we acquired when we were in maktab, from our ustad, from our parents, and then on and off, kuch bayanat mein idhar udhar sun liya. That's the Islam that we have, that much. That's all we have, and that's what we operate on. Kabhi WhatsApp pe kuch aa gaya, good or bad, wotara, you know, you look at that, you listen to a clip of a bayan here and there. So I want you to be honest, right? Because I think we need to understand where we are as a community and society, and where our Islam is. It's very important. How many of us, after becoming baligh and mature, leaving maktab, have read any kitab on Islam, like properly from cover to cover? Just put your hands up. Hopefully there's a few. Okay, there's one at the back. Not the ulama, right? Actually, the ulama as well, just so that we know the bit. Go on, put your hands up. All right, that's about 7-8 people. out of maybe 100 people who've read a kitab on Islam, any kitab. How many of us here have not read a kitab but taken a course on any subject, whether it's a hadith course or a tafsir course or a fiqh course or aqidah course or anything, where you actually went out and I need to understand this, Mujayyib, I need this knowledge. I can't just go by what the basics I learned from the maktab. How many people have taken a course on Islam, like a genuine? Okay, that's fewer people. So more people have read some books than them. So that's about 3-4 people. So the rest of us, what are we operating on? Hum wahi chala rahe jo, alhamdulillah, it was good. But the problem is that when we were young, what we were taught was taught to us to get us started. Very useful, very beneficial. But as adults, have we never had a desire to learn more? Yeah, we might ask questions every now and then, but to make our mindset, to understand these things, is very important. We have our whole life to learn more. And every month, every year, we should learn more than we learned last. Not randomly. You come for Jummah, you don't even know what the Imam Sahib is going to do bayan on. It's beneficial, but I said many people even miss the bayans. So that's why these nikah gatherings are very good, because we get those people in here who never listen to a bayan, they're forced to listen to a bayan, especially if the family's late. Right? Then you get to listen to a bayan. Right? So, marriage is a contract. Like, I accept. You have to actually say that in the past so that you can't even turn around tomorrow and say, I said I will accept, so I don't really accept, and so on. I accept. Right? That's why we're made to say it in certain words. It's an undertaking. Now, the other thing is that a lot of people call and they say that, can you please give us the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife? So usually I tell them, look, I can tell you that in very few words, because there's only some basic rights that the husband has to fulfill and some basic rights that the wife has to fulfill. But that would be like you asking me, namaz mein kitne faraiz hai, but just tell me that's all I'm going to do. And then I'll tell you what your namaz will look like if you just did the faraid of namaz. You'd say Allahu Akbar. You don't even have to raise your hands. You just say Allahu Akbar. You read like one ayah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I say Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Go into ruku, don't say anything. Just go into ruku, stand up, go into sajda, do 2 sujood, don't say anything. And then sit down for tashahud, you know, do 2 rakats like that, sit down for tashahud, don't even read tashahud. And you don't even have to do salam, just walk away. That's your fara'id of salat. Takbir, qiyam, qira'ah, a bit of qira'ah, ruku, sujood, and the last qa'da. That's the fard. I mean, does anybody just fulfill the fara'id of salat and think they've done a wonderful prayer? It's absurd. Doesn't even look good. You know, nobody's going to even call that a prayer. But what's the purpose of that? That if you did miss it or you had a problem, then you'd have to repeat it. Then you have the wajibat, you have the sunnah components, and then all the other, and that beautifies it. Then, mashallah, what a prayer. Phir kuch banta hai usse. Likewise, a marriage is the same thing. There's more in marriage than the obligations. The obligations are just there to kind of keep it together. I've hardly ever thought about the obligations in marriage, in my marriage. Because it was always about, let's make this really good. Like, extra, you know, the mustahab. So that's why we're speaking to the groom, who's our very good friend and student as well. And hopefully the bride is listening somewhere. And the rest of those who've already been grooms and will be grooms, inshallah, you're listening and I'm listening. So that it's a major commitment. When you get married, you can't carry on. Marriage is a sacrifice. Marriage is a change and a transformation. You've got a new person in life. 50 years ago and 100 years ago and 1,000 years ago, marriage was easier, I'm assuming, right? Because it was very simple what you were going to do. But now there's another individual with their own ideas. And you can't just make one another conform, especially in a country that goes by the ideals of individualism and relative truths and postmodernism and everything like that. It gets much more complicated with each person's ambitions and desires and goals and careers and things like that. So it gets that bit more complex. So for example, I think in order to improve our marriages, what we need to do is try to think, whether you're married already, For that person, they should think, what is messing up my marriage? Like, in all honesty, like, from me, what is messing up my marriage? And for those who are not yet married, you have to think, what could mess up my marriage? What potentially that I have issues, because we all have issues, some issues or the other, which of those could affect a relationship? So how do you think of these things? Just with honesty. So for example, I'm going to throw a few ideas out there. One of the biggest factors that negatively impact a marriage is what? You have some ideas? Anger, mashallah, you took the words out of my mouth. Yes, anger is a big one. It's like one of the biggest ones. There's a lot of others, but anger is a big one. Because anger is from the shaitan. Shaitan is from fire. Fire is volatile. Fire, you know when you have fire somewhere, fire is volatile. It's very difficult to contain a fire. You have to be very specific when you want to contain a fire. It just goes all over the place. That's what happens with anger. Anger is a fire. And there's an element of fire within the human being, the four elements. So if somebody has a dominance of fire, they say, this is what an Aristotelian idea was, that if you have a dominance of fire, then you'll be more volatile individual. And some of us are more volatile than others. And how do you know you're volatile? How do you know that you got an anger problem? How do you figure that out? Just compare yourself to your own brothers and sisters. Are you the one who gets angry more than your other brothers and sisters? If you are, then you're going to have a challenge, or you are having a challenge. You better sort it out. Right. How do I sort anger out? Well, I think I had an anger problem. Right. What helped me a lot is I had to give some bayans, and I spoke about anger. Benefiting from the likes of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Shavli Thani, rahmatullahi alayhi, and what they had written. And that just made me reflect further and just feel guilty about it. There's many verses in the Quran, many ahadith about the Prophet ﷺ suggesting what to do in anger. And look, if it's really bad, then all you do is take an anger management course privately online. Nobody needs to know. We just have to be honest with ourselves, because we don't want our marriages for our children that we'll bring in this world punctuated by future problems and possibly divorces and separations. And that's not what we want. It's a legacy we're leaving. And it's our legacy. It's your legacy. For example, who's a grandfather here? How many grandchildren do you have? MashaAllah, he has four grandchildren. Our doctor Zahab has four grandchildren. Allah bless them all. They are his grandchildren. They're not his sister's grandchildren or his brother's grandchildren. This is his progeny. And you know what? There's no stopping those four now. They're going to continue, inshallah, until the day of judgment. We're going to be long gone. On the day of judgment, there's going to be this big army, inshallah, right? A positive army. Who are these? These are your grandchildren. These are Maulana Shaukat's grand descendants. And you know what? We never think. Who thinks about their great-great-grand? Who's thought about their great-great-grandchildren if they don't have them yet? Anybody? Okay, very few people. Yet, who's thought of their own children? Nobody. I'm asking questions. You guys not used to answering questions? I need interaction, right? How many of you have thought about your own children, like some concern? I'm assuming everybody. I should ask who hasn't, right? But nobody ever thinks of their great-great-great-grandchildren. But Allah thinks about them. That's why look at the du'as for children in the Quran. Just two du'as from the Quran about children. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا Oh Allah, grant us from our spouses. وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا And our descendants, not just our immediate children or grandchildren, but our descendants, which means until the day of judgment. Allah is making us do dua for all of them because they are now specifically yours, nobody else's. They are specifically yours and nobody else's. You are the patriarch. You are the guy at the top. They all will come back to you. The other dua, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ Beautiful dua, very powerful. Make me an establisher of the prayer. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي And from my descendants. So don't make dua just for your children or your grandchildren. That's stingy. Like, why restrict the generosity and the vastness of Allah? Do dua for your progeny. And mashallah, there's some people who Allah has given that understanding to, and they plan for this. I've got a friend who's a very wealthy and influential person. He has created a waqf, an endowment, you know, of his assets to help the different aspects of Islam. How far he's thought is that he's developed a hizb, which means a dua collection, that anybody from his grand descendants who will work and do khidmah of this waqf will have to read those du'as. He's thinking way, way ahead when he's long gone and maybe even forgotten, but they have to do that. Because that's what Allah wants us to do. It's a big responsibility, but we can't prepare. You know, when you travel, especially in Hajj, so you have 200, 300, 400 people with you, and certain people will stick out. Some for their bad habits, but others for their good habits. Among 200, 300, 400, 500 people, be one or two people that just stick out, that they've got some amazing capabilities, amazing akhlaq. They don't look like scholars or anything like that. And then when you speak to them, what's going on? You find out that some forefather of theirs was some special waliullah or some buzurg or some big alim or something. You can tell that the barakah of the knowledge and the deen has come down. Kisi, you know, it's benefited. It's benefited them. You and I owe it to our descendants. And it starts off with the marriage. So if our relationship, husband and wife relationship, is not sound, then the children are in an unstable relationship. Psychologically, they get affected. And then we wonder why people commit crimes on the street. It's a rage. A lot of, if you were to look back into the people committing crimes, it's a lot of rage and trauma that is built up of unstable homes. That's why we owe it. So what do we do? So let's figure out what might spoil the marriage so that we can be prepared. We prepare for marriage. Today, preparation for marriage is, what suit am I going to wear? Who am I going to call for the wedding? Where am I going to get the food from? And you prepare for 2-3 days or the honeymoon, and that's about it. Or where we're going to stay. The real preparation is, how am I going to interact with this person and make a life with this person as a single body now, until paradise? Because husband and wives are going to be in paradise together. There's going to be la uzuba fil jannah. There's no single guy in paradise. Anybody wants to be single, there's no. You're going to get to marry somebody. If you get to Jannah, you're going to have to marry somebody. Right? Really sorry if that doesn't bode well for some of us. Like, Marigia, you know, dunya mein to nikal diya time, lekin abhi jannat mein. But there's no, if you look at all of the descriptions of jannat, it's all with azwaj, it's all with your spouse, it's all with your spouse, not with your parents. Yes, you can visit them, but otherwise, if it was your parents, then we'd all be in Adam alayhis-salam's house. Right? Because we're a big, happy family, right? People are going to be in paradise with their spouses. At least, according to many opinions, two spouses. I won't get into that right now. Right, but with your spouse, because paradise is nothing as a single person. You have to have somebody there. It's designed for that. Ma'a azwajihim, you know. So that our journey needs to start here, and we need to think, this is going to go to paradise. So anger was one of them. Another one is emotion. Sensitivity. You can't be that sensitivity. You're living too close to a new person. You can't have it your own way and get sensitive about every little thing, and then start crying or stop speaking. Can't do that. It's just going to destroy your marriage. Once my son came home from school, he was about 7 or 8 at the time, and he just happened to say that, oh, I'm not speaking to my friend. I suddenly was like, where did you learn to stop speaking to somebody? We don't do that in the house. We just deal with it. Like, just have an argument, tell them off, finish, done. Where do you learn to stop speaking to? Okay, there are valid places to stop speaking to somebody. I'm not saying that. But you can't use this as a strategy just when you have a problem with somebody. Obviously, you probably learned it from a friend or something. We said, no, you don't do that. You just deal with it. Right. So, number three.
Probably demand and expectation as well.
Yes, yeah, I'm getting to that. Just let me know when they're here so I can stop. Oh, they're here now? Okay. So how many minutes now? Okay. There's two or three more things, because I've started this topic. Number three, if you're stingy, you're going to have a problem in marriage. Does anybody have a problem in marriage because they're stingy? Look, if the wife is stingy, I think that's okay, because then she'll preserve your assets. But if the man is stingy, then you're in big trouble. There's one place where the Prophet ﷺ allowed to take somebody else's wealth without their permission, and that's when the husband is stingy. I'm not giving that as a fatwa here. That was Hind and Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhum. For under certain circumstances, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Look, you can take what, because there was an obligation." Right? So, stinginess in a man is... there was one example of this guy, this woman, she called and she said, "Her husband is very, very, very stingy. Now, you can't always take one side of a story." I said, "Let me talk to your husband. What the issue?" He said, "Oh, he has these old furniture that's just about, the door is hanging on." And so I talked to the husband. He said, "It works. It still works." I said, "Okay, TK." Now, the other thing was that she was a bit of a health freak, so she wanted organic milk. Organic milk at that time cost about 40, 50 pence more than normal milk. Now I don't know, right? So I said, "Look, we're going to have to do something here." So I spoke to the husband. I said, "Look, how much milk do you guys use a month or a week?" He said, "This much." So we made a calculation that in a year, it's not going to cost you more than, I think, 60 to 80 pounds extra. Just do it, man. Like itna kanjus, right? Okay. If you're into your friends too much, you're into your work too much, you're into your kitabs too much, even for ulama, you're into your addictions too much, your football too much, you're going to struggle, because you're going to want to do the same thing before marriage, and now you're in marriage. She's waiting, bichari. And you come home at 1 o'clock at night and she's fallen asleep on the dastarkhan without eating what she wanted to eat with you. She's all ready. And you're on the other room on a laptop at 12 o'clock at night. This is an investment that has to be made. It has to be a sacrifice. It has to be compromise. It has to be empathy. It has to be selflessness. Because you are leaving a progeny and you don't want this whole thing punctuated with problems in the future. So get it right. Get it right. And ask Allah for assistance. But I think I think the simple thing in marriage is that if you think that, "Look, I want to please the other person within reason as much as I can and sacrifice myself," then inshallah you're on a successful route. And the other thing I would say is that if you do run into trouble, look, there will be troubles, okay? So expect troubles, some ups and downs. And if they go away after a month or two, alhamdulillah, there will be issues. Don't keep running to your mom and dad for every little thing. That's an issue as well. Try to deal with it, because you're in the best position to deal with it. However, if there's something that is keeping you awake at night for months on end, and it's only getting worse, then don't hope for a miracle, because miracles don't usually happen. Get help sooner than later. When it goes beyond, it's causing you major aggravation, then get help sooner than later. Because I've dealt in the last year with about 5 or 6 marriages that are over 20 years old, with 20-year-old children involved, and now they want to separate because it's just too far gone. Much more difficult to get something sorted after 20 years than in 2 years, because there's less issues at 2 years than 20 years. They just build up and you get deeper and deeper into a trench. So get help sooner than later. But just don't make those mistakes, and just expect issues and then know how to deal with them by dealing with our anger issues, our stinginess issues, respect issues, obedience issues, love issues. All of these things, inshallah, will assist. So may Allah allow this gathering here to be a very, very blessed one, both for our groom of today and our bride of today, and for everybody who's already married. And those who want to be married, may Allah make this a source of barakah and blessing and enhancement in all of our marriages and our life in this world and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah, everybody seems to be here now. So, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'ghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقال من رغب عن سنتي فليس مني وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوجوا الودود الولود فإني مكاثر بكم الأمم يوم القيامة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the bridegroom today is Maulana Zubair Usman Auditor. And the bride is Sumayya Umar Aibo?
Ayub.
Okay. Sumayya Umar Ayub. And representative of the bride is the father, Umar by Ayub. And the two witnesses are Suleiman Adam, who's that? Suleiman by there, and Muhammad Umar Ayub. That's you. So these two are the witnesses. The dowry amount is how much? Oh, it's here. 983 pounds and 90 pence exactly. Mahar Azwaj, you should just, okay, you can give a bit more, no problem. Right, just top it up, man. 1,000 pounds is all right, inshallah. And there's a nikah contract here. You've read it and you're fine with it. So we're going to do this nikah based on this contract with everything that's in there which they have written and agreed to, right? So that will be incorporated into this nikah when they do the offer and acceptance. So in front of our two witnesses, which we've already named, the representative of the bride, which is Umar by Ayub, do you give consent to your daughter Sumayya to be wedded and married to our Maulana Zubair Usman auditor here for the said dowry amount? You accept. So Maulana Zubair, the ball is in your court now. The offer has been made for you to make an acceptance of this. Go ahead. One more. Does the Wajduha just say that as well? MashaAllah. And I accept her in my marriage. Sorry?
I accept her in my marriage.
Okay. MashaAllah. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alayk wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. MashaAllah. Where's Mullah Faisal Saab? Oh, there he is. He wants you to do it. You guys fight it out and let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to get Mullah Ismail to do it. Mullah Ismail Saab? Can I get... Ab hamare bade.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد بعد الرضا لك الحمد بالإسلام ولك الحمد بالإيمان ولك الحمد بالمال والأهل والمعافاة اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على روح سيدنا محمد في الأرواح وصل على جسد سيدنا محمد في الأجساد وصل على قبر سيدنا محمد في القبور وصلي على محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت العز الأكرم. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها، وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم ربنا توفنا مسلمين، وألحقنا بالصالحين، غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك، واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك. اللهم احشرنا في زمرته، واستعملنا بسنته، وتوفنا على ملته، واجعلنا من حزبه يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا، وحوضه لنا مولدا. اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها، واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت، وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت. فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يذل من واليت، ولا يعز من عاديت. تبارك ربنا وتعاليت. نستغفرك اللهم ربنا من جميع الذنوب والخطايا، ونتوب إليك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا الله ما لغناهكم عفو فرما، يا أرحم الراحمين فضل كرمك معاملة فرما. يا الله ہماری جمع ہونے کو قبول فرما. يا الله یہ نکاح جو ایک سنت ادا کی جا رہی ہے، اس کی برکتیں ہم سب کو نصیب فرما. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اس نکاح کو کامیاب فرما. آپس میں الفت، محبت، مودت کا ذریعہ بنا. نیک صالح اولاد کو وجود میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا. يا أرحم الراحمين خاندانوں کے محبت کے ساتھ ملنے اور جلنے کا ذریعہ بنا. يا أرحم الراحمين آپس میں اتفاق اور اتحاد نصیب فرما. اس جوڑے کو اللہ دائمی جوڑا بنا دے، دنیا اور آخرت کا جوڑا بنا دے. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين ہر شر سے، ہر مکروہ سے حفاظت فرما. ہر قسم کے اختلاف انتشار سے حفاظت فرما. يا أرحم الراحمين وہ محبت اور وہ تعلق آپس میں نصیب فرما جو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اور حضرت عائشہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کے درمیان تھا. اور اے اللہ، اے اللہ ہمیں بھی آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنتوں کو سامنے رکھ کر زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. ازواج مطہرات کی زندگی کو سامنے رکھ کر زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیشہ فضل و کرم کا معاملہ فرما. ہم ہر قسم کی پریشانی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین امت مسلمہ کی حفاظت فرما، امت مسلمہ پر رحم فرما. جہاں جہاں لوگ پریشان ہیں ان کے پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین جہاں جہاں لوگ پریشان ہیں ان کے پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. حرمین شریفین کی حفاظت فرما، حرمین شریفین کی حفاظت فرما، مسجد اقصیٰ کی حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہم سب کو دین پر استقامت نصیب فرما، دین پر جمنا نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ایمان پر زندگی نصیب فرما، اور ایمان والی موت ہم سب کے لیے مقدر فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیشہ اپنی رضا نصیب فرما، اپنی ناراضگی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین وہ تمام خیر ہم آپ سے مانگتے ہیں جو اللہ آپ کے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے مانگی ہیں. ان تمام شروع سے ہم پناہ مانگتے ہیں جن سے آپ کے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے پناہ مانگی ہے. اللہم انا نسلک من الخیر کلہ عاجلہ و آجلہ ما علمنا منہ ما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بک من الشر کلہ عاجلہ و آجلہ ما علمنا منہ ما لم نعلم. اللہم انا نسلک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، ونعوذ بک من شر ما استعاد منہ نبیک وحبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. انت المستعان وعلیک البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة الا باللہ العلی العظیم. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله واصحابه اجمعين.